get it for me?
Yes, I will.
Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to be here today, to worship your name, to celebrate and honor that which you have provided for us. I pray that this will be a blessing to those who hear it today, that you have indeed given me the approach, I'll say, today. I don't know if I can call it a message or not. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you will do yet. You are our loving Heavenly Father who has provided for us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There are a lot of ways that we learn things as we're growing up. We learn how to read, and we learn things from books. We learn things from other people in our lives who teach us, teachers or our parents, whoever they may be. And we learn things through experience.
Yes.
And I would say that the most precious lessons, the ones that stick with us, which experience is pretty good at doing that, But the things that shape our lives in the most positive way, I would say, come from experiences, both good and bad, and they come from people who we have respect for and who we look up to. It might be teachers, it might be parents. Hopefully, I know for some of us that is not the case, but in a world designed as God intended it, that'll be your father.
Amen.
A good father passes down that which he has learned to his children. A good father leads by example.
That's right.
A good father knows when to administer justice and when to show mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
Our earthly fathers were meant to show us in a tangible way the love and care of our Father God. Unfortunately, we're not perfect. And our fathers are not perfect. They're human beings like us. But what we can do is celebrate the good that is in them. Now, I realize for some, the only good thing you may be able to say is, well, he made it possible for me to be alive.
Amen.
But praise God for that.
That's right.
You're here.
Amen.
You're alive. And we can always celebrate the good in our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Because he is the ultimate description of what good is.
Right.
And you might say to me, well, it's easy for you to say. You apparently had a good father. And yeah, I did. I have much to celebrate.
Amen.
I can remember times when we would go out together. He had a military background, was in the Marine Corps when I was very young. So in one sense, you might have called them forced marches. I didn't always want to go on these missions, these exercise times that we would have. But now, when I look back, they're very pleasant memories.
Amen.
There are times in which my father invested in me and spent time with me and encouraged me to be who I should be. Offered wise counsel and taught me about the love of God.
Amen.
And so I'm going to share with you today a few of the lessons that my father taught me in hopes that, that they'll bless you.
Amen.
In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction."
Amen.
I've tried to live by that, sometimes not as well as I could have. But I certainly have made it my life's goal to please my Heavenly Father as well.
Amen.
One of the things that my dad taught me that I think is especially relevant for us here today is simply this: you don't want to be normal. I can remember the conversation. I can't remember all the details, but I think it might have been on one of those walks that we had. And I said, as being most young people, they want to be accepted. They think that the way to be accepted is to be like all their friends. And I said, I just want to be normal. And he said, why? What do you want to be normal for? And we often focus on some characteristic or circumstance that makes us different. And we think if that just went away, everything would be all right.
Right.
You know, if I was a little thinner, if I could see, if I didn't look different, whatever the case may be, we think that if that could change it, it would make people like us.
Right.
And disability really makes you stick out.
Right.
But he said, what do you want to be normal for? Normal's not good. Not necessarily good anyway.
Right.
You know, normal is not necessarily noticed. I think he got this from somewhere else, but he used to say, he's given me this saying more than once. He said, you know, when you're young, you worry about what people are thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a little older, you don't care anymore what people think about you.
That's true.
When you get older still, you figure out that they weren't thinking about you to begin with.
True. Amen.
But normal often makes the wrong choices.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put any other scriptures on the screen, but I'm going to read several today. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide." Let me rephrase that. The way is broad that leads to destruction.
Right.
And there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it.
That's right.
So see, you don't want to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, God calls us out of normalcy. When you read through the Sermon on the Mount, it becomes very apparent that he does not want us to be normal. Where we want to fight our enemies and defend ourselves from our enemies, God says, make peace with your enemies. And not only make peace with them, love them.
Mm.
Boy, that is not normal.
No, that's not normal. It's abnormal.
He tells us to utterly reject sin. He says, in fact, don't even think about it. Because if you think about it, it's in your heart. And you're guilty of it. He says, in fact, hate it so much that even if you have to cut off a part of your body to get rid of it, that's what you do.
Mm.
That is not normal.
No, it's not.
Speak and act with integrity. Return good for evil. Eschew the adulation of other people. Don't do things to be seen or to be recognized or to be liked. That's not normal. Not good to be normal. That's something my dad taught me.
That's good.
He taught me that you are to be responsible. You're responsible for your own life. You're responsible to make your living. Second, and before I quote this, I'll go ahead and read it, then I'll make the point. But 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 says, in part, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. But the reason why I want to stop and make a point there is it says he is not willing.
Right.
It doesn't say it's not able. It says it's not willing.
Mm-hmm.
But he taught me that it's not someone else's fault. Our circumstances are not somebody else's. Somebody else may have had something to do with it. But ultimately, it falls to us to make the best of our circumstances.
Yes, it does.
And something else that's made it a little harder for some of this, your emotional state is not somebody else's fault. I remember one time talking to him. I was talking to him about how I was feeling. How one time I was sitting all alone at school after I'd gone to college, and I was sitting, they had a crosswalk thing that went over a street, and there were walls on either side of it, came across from the student into the library, and went over the street that was down low. And I was sitting up there on that wall, and I told him how I was feeling. I said, I wanted just to stand up on the top of that wall and will scream, "Will you notice me now? If I jump off, will you finally pay attention to me?" He said, "Oh, well, you'd get attention, but it wouldn't be the kind you want."
Right.
It's not up to other people. It's up to you. And look to the Lord. He didn't leave it there, though. The underlying message is always, look to the Lord for your strength.
That's right.
Amen.
But he taught responsibility. When I made some mistakes and ended up having to come back home, I had that message. I took that message to heart. I went to him and I said, "Look, I'm not supposed to be here." He didn't ask me to do this. I went to him and I said, "I'm not supposed to be here. How much does it cost you for me to be here?" I didn't have much, but I needed, in order to feel right, I needed to pay something back. I don't know if the number he gave me was really what it cost me to live there or not, or cost him for me to live there or not. I think it probably was, because he's honest like that. But he might have been giving me a break. I don't know. But responsibility. We're responsible for our own lives, and it's biblical to be so. Third thing I will mention is that he is to be a person of integrity. I got involved with somebody when I was younger who lied as a matter of course. Clinically, I guess they call them a compulsive liar. Just lied for the sake of lying. But I was so unaccustomed to that I didn't recognize it. The stranger the story got, I would question, and I'd get an answer, and I would believe the answer. Because it just was beyond my comprehension. I mean, it wasn't that I never told a lie as a kid. I did. I felt bad about it. I usually got caught.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing about it is, if somebody tells you a lie, then it's going to take a long time, because now everything they say to you is suspect. Because you can never be sure. Once you've established that somebody will lie, how can you ever know whether what they're saying is true?
Right.
Amen.
You have to verify everything, because you just don't know.
Right.
Amen.
There are a lot of things that we may not have, but we can always have our integrity.
That's right.
Proverbs 28:6 says, "Better is a poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich."
Amen.
Again, it says over in 19:2, "What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar." God is truth.
Amen.
He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Dishonesty, the dishonest can have no part in him. It says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, it lists out some things that the Lord hates. One of them is a lying tongue.
It's true.
He says in another place, talking about commerce, he says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. It's in chapter 11, verse 1. There's another place in chapter 20 that he says that. And then as you look in Revelation, the people that are listed, that have their part in the lake of fire, one of those things that is listed is liars. We cannot be dishonest and have a part in the Lord. Thank God for his forgiveness.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And the corollary to that is do what is right, and God will take care of you.
That's right.
It says in Proverbs 2, verse 7, that he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. And he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Growing up, we didn't have a lot. But I'll tell you something, we never went hungry. All you have to do is look at pictures of me and figure that out. We didn't have the latest fashions, but we always had clothes to wear.
Yes.
God took care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that. Now, is he going to do it in a way that you might like for him to? Maybe not.
No.
But if you walk in integrity, he will take care of you.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
The fourth thing that he taught me was to always put others first.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says this: "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves."
Amen.
"Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others." Be considerate in your daily activities. Well, that's one of the things that would just really get under his skin, and I kind of inherited that. People that behave in an inconsiderate way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some things don't bother me as much as they do him. He gets really irritated with the loud music. I've seen him get up from a table at a restaurant, go outside with his badge, and make somebody stop the loud music. Maybe it doesn't bother me as much because I like my music loud every once in a while too.
Yes.
But that the idea is that we should always be considerate of those around us.
That's so true.
Amen.
To treat others with kindness and courtesy. To consider what it is that they may be going through. I remember another incident very clearly. And I couldn't have been more than 6 or 7 years old. But he took me with him to go get takeout and bring it home. And we were in a car, we were in a line. And I was hearing this strange noise. It was a car that had some kind of mechanical problem. It was making all kind of noise. And it died. And I was like, "Well, how are we going to get our food?"
Yeah.
And, well, the car wasn't in our way to begin with. But Dad, boy, he got all over me. He said, "What a selfish thing to say." That one's got some real problems now. But that's stuck in my head. I have always remembered that. Always be considerate of what other people are going through. And help them out if you can. I will never know, because Dad always did it quietly. Never made a, you know, didn't sound a trumpet before him like he talks about in Matthew chapter 6. He was giving things away all the time. I would hear about it later, because sometimes it was things that his parents gave him. He turned around and gave it away. And I just ate them up. But somebody else needed it more than he did.
Right.
So he gave it away. That's what I grew up watching. He'd invite people in. We had people come and live in our house with us. Because he was always looking out for other people. And stopping to help strangers on the side of the road. It's a part of our life when I was growing up. But the most important thing that my father ever taught me was to love the Lord.
Amen.
I still remember the incident. I don't remember very many details anymore. But I remember where we lived. And I remember that the carpet was white. And the woods were dark, the dark paneling on the walls. And I was sitting down in the floor of the living room with my dad. And I prayed the prayer of salvation. And then he told me to go up and get up and tell my mom that I was a Christian now. I remember that. I also remember Dad always in prayer.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of the things it says is pray continually, or pray without ceasing, depending on your translation.
Yes.
I remember for a while, as a young man, I would never say amen at the end of the prayer. Because that seemed to me like it was a period, and that meant you were done, and you're not supposed to ever be done. So I just wouldn't say amen. But we'd be sitting, and I'm sure this is still the case today. I'm not around him as much, obviously, but just with hearing talk, I'm sure it's true. I'd be sitting with him, and he'd be praying under his breath. Usually praying in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. He'd be praying under his breath, and I'd do the same thing. Sometimes you kind of irritate Linda a little bit because we'd be involved in a deep conversation, and I'm doing that. But I'm, to believe it, I'm doing that because I ain't got a clue what I need to be saying. I need the Holy Spirit to tell me. So I do the same thing. I pray under my breath a lot. But he taught me that. Go to the Lord.
Amen.
Always go to the Lord. Hear from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And pray for each other.
Yes.
I don't remember this. He tells me that I prayed for him when I was just 4 years old and he was sick and he got better.
Okay.
I don't remember that. But I do remember praying, and for a while there, my allergies were going away. So I asked God and took them away.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I got my prayer language. I was 7 years old. And I'd been nervous about it. I didn't think I was ready. But then I decided I was ready, and I was on the couch. In our little house that we had there in Hot Springs. And I just asked for it, and he gave it to me.
Amen.
Just like that.
Amen.
And I remember long sessions of prayer that we would have together. Both me, just me and him sometimes, sometimes as a family. We'd get together and we would pray.
Wonderful.
So that was part of our life. And today, I call him. He is a preacher too, so I guess I sort of get understand. If I call him today and we talk very long, I'm going to get a sermon. Because whatever God is showing him at the moment, he's going to share it with me.
Amen.
And I kid about that, but man, I'm so blessed to have that. I am so blessed that's what I was raised with.
Amen.
But the love motivation. It's so important. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Amen.
Now, yeah, that does tell you how to show love for God. But what I learned is that It's not the how. It's the because.
Mm-hmm.
Because we love him,
Amen.
We will keep his commandments.
Amen.
Love is the motivation. The Father's Day is one of those days. It means different things to different people.
That's right.
It does have a neat history. I won't go through the whole thing, but it kind of got its launch back on July 5th of 1908. There had been an explosion in a mine, and a bunch of children had been left fatherless. And so there was a sermon preached to honor fathers. The lady who kind of spearheaded the whole thing was named Grace Golden Clayton. But it was to honor these fathers of these kids that had been killed in this mining explosion back in 1907. It was about caring for the children, about the importance of fatherhood. Of course, later on, it began to gain popularity as the retailers got involved back in the 20s and 30s. In 1966, LBJ proclaimed the third Sunday in June to be Father's Day. And in 1972, Nixon signed into law to make it a national holiday.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It is a tough day for some.
Mm-hmm.
For some of us, even recently, the father's gone. And that's tough. For others of us, the father was not a good father.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it tough. And for some of us, not only was he not good, he was not there. And so all of this stuff may sound a little bit foreign. But take the opportunity. If your father is living, thank him for what he's done for you.
Yes.
And if he's not, or if he's not somebody that you're able to honor, then thank your Heavenly Father. And we can do that every day. The Father, our Heavenly Father, through the agency of his Holy Spirit, is always teaching us. Are we listening? My worst experiences in life, I can say, could have been avoided if I had listened to my father more closely.
True.
Even with a good father, not everyone listens necessarily. Our family has its problems like every other family. And that's true, that's also true with the Heavenly Father. We're not listening sometimes. And so, I did this in part to honor my own father, but in part to say, hear your Heavenly Father and find life. Everything I've shared with you today, I've been able to back up out of God's Word.
Amen.
Hear him and find life. Ignore him and find misery and death. He is Father to the fatherless. And he will adopt anyone who will call on his name.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for giving us earthly examples of what love is supposed to be. And Lord, for those who have not experienced that, I pray that you will send people into their life who can help heal that wound and bring them into an understanding of what it is to have a Heavenly Father who loves them, because you do. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.